Welcome. Now, if you look at your bulletin, the bulletin is a little bit different from how it's been often in the past. Sometimes we have a service where we kind of break things up, and today is no exception. Last week, I talked about the verse that says, be devoted to prayer. That verse is in the New Testament 6 times, so I got to thinking that must be pretty important. Then in a lot of different places, to a lot of different churches, God says to be devoted to prayer. Now, we can have seminars and instruction on how to pray, and they're very beneficial, but it's also good when we actually pray. So we're going to spend a little bit more time in prayer this service than maybe we've done in the past to kind of ignite us to pray, and I think God will bless our time. Because what we want to think about is that prayer is a lifestyle. You know, there's prayer with our words, and there's actually prayer in our lifestyle with our actions. You know, and what God says, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean we drive down the road and, oh, I'm being disobedient because my eyes aren't closed and I'm not praying. And don't drive down the road and do that. That's not what it means. But it means it's a lifestyle of dependence to the Lord. And there's times when we express it in prayer, and there's nothing too small for the Lord that we can pray about. So we want to think about that, our lifestyle. And we want to think about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Today is a special day, too, because we're going to do that in 3 ways. One of the ways, like I mentioned, we're going to pray. Another way is that we're going to baptize Jackson Laster today. And baptism is wonderful because what that does, among other things, is we come together as God's family and we say, we need the grace of Jesus Christ so that we can have that personal relationship with Him. And God has given us this sacrament to testify to the fact that Jesus Christ is the one who saves us. And it's a life that He gives us, a personal relationship with Him. And then the second way we're going to highlight that is we're going to highlight through communion. And what communion expresses very simply is that we continue to need Jesus Christ in order to live lives that give us not only our greatest pleasure, but also glorify Him. So prayer is active. And our relationship with Christ is vital, not only in terms of importance, but in terms of life. And that's what we want to think about today. So turn your hearts towards the Lord as we prepare ourselves for worship during the prelude. We're going to invite you now to take the service register and sign it so that we'll have a record of your visit. And thank you for doing that. I've learned after living in Anna for, four years, I think it is, that if there's ever an event going on at the high school and the traffic is letting out, it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to get from Jonesboro to Anna. And I've thought about that. I guess you could go left and go to Kratzinger Hollow Road and come around and come down that way. Or you can go down 127 and there's a road you can take a left on and then come up through the orchards and end up out there by the cemetery. But that is a hassle. In fact, it's not worth it. And what I found is, even if you have to get from Jonesboro to Anna and there's so much traffic because stuff is going on and traffic is letting out at the school, you still have to pass through that traffic to get from one place to another, from Jonesboro to Anna, or vice versa. And what I want us to think about is this, that in a sense, if you want to elevate your prayer life, to do that, at some point, you have to pass through praise. Because nothing unleashes the spirit of a Christian like true, genuine, heartfelt praise. You believe this statement? God is worthy of our praise. God is worthy of our praise. Praise looks at God with fascination. Praise looks at the character and the nature of God and His actions, and it does it with a sense of gratitude. You can't praise the Lord without having a sense, I am so glad that I know Him because He is so great. What a privilege it is. In heaven, the angels gather around the throne, and their purpose is to praise, and they're totally fulfilled in their praising the Lord. They can never get enough of praising God when they see Him. When we get to heaven, I think we're not going to be nearly as concerned with the questions that we all have that we want to ask God about, whether they're theological questions or whether they're questions, Lord, why did you do this? Lord, why did you do that? I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be so enamored with what God is like, that all of our questions and all of our anxieties about life are just going to pale and fade away before the throne of our Heavenly Father. That's praise. And when we praise, that's getting a little bit of all of that right here. Praise is the preparation that God gives us for heaven. If we can praise the Lord in the midst of bad circumstances, what a great way for God to prepare us to heaven. If we can praise the Lord in the midst of good circumstances and not ever take them for granted, what a great way to prepare us for heaven and to enjoy our relationship here, because praise is a preparation for heaven. List all the words right now in your mind. List all the words that you can think of to describe God. Words you can use to praise God. And I can think of a couple. You know, whenever we come across someone who thinks that they know everything, we call them a know-it-all. And a know-it-all is not really a very good term, because we know that really they don't know it all, so they should quit acting like they know it all. But God really does know it all. He is omniscient. That's a big technical word that means God is a know-it-all, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, because that's the nature and that's the character of God. And I'll tell you another word. We don't like people to be bossy. We say, hey, who made you the boss? And we say that because we know they're not really the boss. They're just acting bossy like they are the boss, and we don't like that. But God is the boss. Whether we believe it or not, God is the boss. And the word to describe that is the word sovereign. So He knows everything, and He is sovereign. And then I'll give you one more word. And that's not a technical term. It's a wonderful term. The word is love. How much is wrapped up in that word? When we describe our Heavenly Father as the God of love who loves His children. He knows all. He is the boss. And He loves His children. And the more I think about all the words we can use to describe God, that whether they're big technical terms or whether they're just simple words like the word love, what I conclude is I know that God gave us communication. And when we communicate, we really reflect the nature of God, because He communicates to us through His words, through the Bible. But He is so much even beyond the words. That when we say He's all-knowing, we limit who God really is. When we say that He is sovereign, that word limits the vastness of God. Words only begin to communicate the wonderful nature of God, who is worthy of our praise. It's like a baby trying to recite the Declaration of Independence. Or it's like me trying to explain some high-powered technical scientific term. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't come close. And yet God gives us that to approach Him and approach His throne the best we can. That's praise. A high view of God and His desires and His will is integral to effective, powerful, prevailing prayer. It's what we offer, praise of God. An acknowledgement of His... Psalm 18 says, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise. But God made us. He made us to praise Him. Isaiah 43, He says, the people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. Hebrews 13 says this, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. It can be offered anywhere. We can praise God anywhere. When I'm driving down the road, sometimes I try to think of, I go through the alphabet. I praise the Lord through the alphabet. And I start with A. You know, say, He is almighty. He is awesome. He is, and then I'll come up with another word after all. Then I go to B, then I go to C, and then I go to Q. And then I skip over that one. It's quick. And then I go and go, and there's words. It's a good way just to praise God, even while you're driving. I get to X, and there's all kind of words like excellent, you know. With what a great way to be able to praise the Lord anywhere. And that's what He tells us to do. Psalm 9 says, I'll be glad and rejoice in you. I'll sing praise to your name, O Most High. There's gladness when we pray. Psalm 22 says, I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you. So there's a time for praising Him in the congregation. And what my encouragement is to let praise be an integral part of your life. Psalmist says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Psalm 71 says, from birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. We are created to praise. I encourage you, elevate your life to praise. And that's what we're going to do now. I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray with me. And then after that, take your hand out, and you'll see areas that we put in terms of praise. And then we're going to have a time where I'm going to call out what that area is. And then I want you just to silently there praise the Lord. So we're going to spend just a couple of minutes doing this. It's a wonderful exercise that we want to see the Lord bless. We certainly can't go wrong when we praise Him according to His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that we could come before Your throne. That as Your people, we can obey what You tell us to do. And that's to praise You at all times. That's to praise You in the congregation. You don't ever tell us to do anything that's bad for us. But everything You tell us to do is very, very good for us. Very beneficial. That this praise would lead to gladness because You tell us that that would happen. And Father, our hearts get clouded with so many things. When our eyes, which have to be on the things that we do during the course of the day. In the circumstances of our lives and the people who are in our lives. And we can get so caught up in that, that we lose sight of Your greatness. And Lord, that might be why You carve aside times where You tell us to praise You. Just to brag about You. Brag about Your nature. That You are all-knowing. That You're ever-present. That You exist from eternity to eternity. Father, we are grateful for all of those things. And Father, we look at this list, and it's certainly not an exhaustive list of who You are and what You're like. But each of Your attributes and each of Your actions is so worthy of praise. And we ask that You would move our hearts so that we might be those who live lives of praise. And now, Lord, what we do in the silence of our own hearts, we pray that You would give us thoughts that we could offer to You in praise because of Your love for us that Your psalmist speaks of. And Father, we also acknowledge together as Your people, we acknowledge that You're holy, that You are set apart, and that You are distinct. And we acknowledge Your mercy, and we acknowledge Your justice. And Father, we pray that Your Spirit might grant us thoughts towards that end so that we might praise that aspect of Your nature. Father, we praise You for Your unmerited favor. We praise You for Your grace. And I pray that Your Spirit might encourage us even now with a greater understanding of Your grace that we offer to You in praise. And Father, as we continue to praise You for Your nature, You're defined by goodness. And we admit there's things that happen in this world that we don't understand, that certainly don't seem good. And we don't even understand how Your goodness can override those things. And yet we know that You do work all things together for good, because that's essential to who You are. So Lord, now give us those thoughts as we praise You for Your goodness. Lord, not only are you good, but you act good towards us. You are kind. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness that the psalmist says is even better than life. That you, by your grace, have bound yourself to us by the covenant to always act in loving kindness towards your children. Father, we praise you for that. Give us those thoughts about your kindness so that we might continue to praise you. And Father, when we think about all of these things, when we think about your love for us, we think about your holiness and your mercy and your justice and your grace and your goodness and your kindness. And we know that the psalmist is right when he says, "Where can I flee from your presence?" Father, you are always there. You are great. You are vast. Father, I pray that you would allow us to focus upon your greatness as we offer your greatness back to you in praise. Father, in the quietness of this room and in the quietness of our hearts, we pray that you would so fill them with praise that it would result in a gladness and a gratitude, and that you might be honored and glorified. Thank you that we can approach your throne in this way. Make us those who do praise you, in spite of our circumstances, in spite of our situations, that we might see you in all that we do. What a privilege it is, Lord, to offer praise. Pray that you might be honored and glorified. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. There's a place where all the aspects of God's nature come together. It's a geographical place, and it's also a historical place where we see his love and where we see his justice and where we see his wrath and where we see his mercy, and we also see his grace and we see his holiness. They all come together for his children. And the place that I'm talking about is the cross. But let's think about this. Let's think about confession. You know, when someone stands before a judge and declares guilty or not guilty, what they're doing is they're agreeing, if they say guilty, they're agreeing with the charges. They're saying, this is true. Or if they say not guilty, they don't agree with charges. They say, what is true is that I didn't actually do it. I am not guilty. It's based upon truth. You agree or you disagree. And that's what confession means. Confession literally means to agree with. It's saying, I agree. This is true. And confession is based upon what is true. And sometimes it's not necessarily negative. In fact, our confession is in our faith in Jesus Christ. The greatest benefit that we have as Christians is our confession. Because the Bible says that if we confess Jesus with our lips and believe upon him in our heart, then we will be saved. So when you say, I agree with Jesus Christ, I agree with what he did on the cross, and I believe that personally for me. And when we agree with that, we are making a profession of faith. We are agreeing what is true. And in the same token, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, we agree with God concerning what we've done, and we call it what it really is, then he will forgive our sins and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, in a very real sense, he has already forgiven the penalty of our sins because of the cross. And the minute we apply the cross to our lives, we are completely forgiven, past, present, and future. But even though we're forgiven as a position with Christ, confessing our sins continues to enable us to benefit our relationship with him. If you call us at home on our landline, there'll be a lot of static And we need to get some new filters so that static will go away. And when we live our lives where we are not confessing our sin to the Lord, not that we have to have this morbid introspection, but when we're holding things back against the Lord, it's just like when you call us on our phone and all we hear is a bunch of static. Confessing is like that new filter. It cleanses us. It cleans the line so that we can continue to enjoy that fellowship with Him. And when we become aware of an area of our life or an attitude in our lives that doesn't square with the Word of God, then we talk to God about it. It's okay. He knows it. He knows it anyway. And we call it what it is, sin. And then we claim the fact that we have already been forgiven. What a relief. And then we continue to live our lives with a changed mind after admitting the truth of our sin and admitting the truth of God's Word that says He will cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. So we want to confess. That's a good thing, to confess our sin to the Lord. I invite you to turn in the hymnals. Those are those green books that you see there. To number 605, that's not a hymn, that's a prayer. And in the early church, throughout the history of the church, there would be times where they would recite prayers together. So I'd invite you to do that. Now I'm going to read you're going to read the bold print. You're going to pray that part. Number 605, it's entitled The Prayer of Penitence. It says, "Be merciful to me, God, because of your constant love. Wash away my evil and make me clean from my sin. I have sinned against you only against you, and done what you consider evil. I have been evil. From the time I was born, from the day of my birth, I have been sinful. Remove my sin and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Create a pure heart in me, God, and put a new and loyal spirit in me. Give me again the joy that comes from your salvation and make my spirit obedient. You do not want sacrifices or I would offer them. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in a time of confession. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, in the quietness of our hearts, we don't want to be morbidly introspective or look for rocks and stones that we need to overturn, but we want your Holy Spirit to do that. And so with that in mind, we confess that we have sinned against you. Not only that, but we have sinned against others. We've even sinned against ourselves. And so we call upon you, Jesus, and ask you to cleanse us from all of our sin. Sin, whatever the area might be, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's speaking words that we regret, whether it's active rebellion or just saying, "I'm going to run my life, Lord, and you, I'll call on you when I need you." Lord, we thank you for the blood of your Son, and we apply that to our lives. And you do say that if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. So we simply ask you to do what we know you'll do, and that's to be true to your word. And we thank you, Jesus, that I'm forgiven. Father, we receive your forgiveness that Jesus Christ paid for, and we thank you for it. We thank you that Jesus has been made the true wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And we pray that you would sanctify us through your truth. And we pray as we prayed together from the hymnal. We pray as David prayed, that you might create in us a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within us, that you would not cast us from your presence or you wouldn't take your Holy Spirit from us. Continue, Lord, to restore us the joy of our salvation and grant us a willing spirit to sustain us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit ourselves to a lifestyle of holiness, to a lifestyle of pleasing You, to a lifestyle of joy from walking with You. And we submit ourselves to You, our spirit and our soul and our body. We commit true repentance, changing our mind, and ask that Your Spirit would grant us favor towards that end, that You might give us a daily life of continuing to turn towards You, of changing our direction when we need to, of listening to Your Word and obeying to it, and maturing through the power of Your Holy Spirit, submitting to Your Lordship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, you'll see the next point here in our service is T, taking it all to God. And this is an opportunity that we have, and this is the part that we probably spend the most time in when we pray, taking our requests to God, taking the things to God that that seem to burden us. And God calls us to do that. He calls us to cast our cares upon Him rather than being anxious. In fact, in Philippians, He says, "In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And not only can we lift up our personal burdens, the things that personally concern us, but we can also pray for others. In fact, we should pray for others. And this is a type of prayer that we call intercessory prayer. The word intercession means for us to pray on behalf of someone else to God, to pray to God on behalf of someone else. The Apostle Paul gives us many examples of this. And if you look at your little handout, I put some there for you. So when, you know, this week when you're praying and thinking about things, here's some great prayers that Paul gives us that we can pray for others as he prayed for different churches. And you'll see those there, you know, to know God's hope, to the ability to grasp the depth of God's love, you know, how high and how deep and how wide, to be filled with discernment and purity, knowledge of God's will. We can pray that for others and for ourselves, that we might know, that people we know might know what God's will is for their life, that the name of Jesus might be glorified. We pray this so that the gospel might be seen in the far corners of the world. And lastly, Philemon there, you see, active in sharing the gospel. We can pray that for others. Perhaps the greatest example we have of intercession is the prayer that Jesus prayed. The high priestly prayer is what we call it in John 17. And in this prayer, he prays for himself, but then he also prays for the disciples. And then he even prays for us, believe it or not. He prays for all believers throughout all the world, throughout all time. This is a great example of intercessory prayer. So who can we pray for? Who can we pray for? Well, I think following the example of Christ and others in Scripture, we really find there's no limit. There really is no limit to who we can pray for. If someone's on your mind, pray for that person. If you pass someone in the street and there's something lingering about that person, pray for that person. If you think of a family member, pray for that person. There's really no limit to who you can pray for. It's far-reaching. And so this morning, we're going to just spend a few minutes here in the quiet of our hearts. I'm going to list, I'm going to say sort of a group. And in your hearts, think of maybe one or two people that you might know that fit into this category. And just lift them up in the silence of your heart this morning as we think about taking it all to God, casting all of our burdens and the burdens of others before God. Now let's pray together. Father, we thank You that You have sent Christ, and that Christ is the greatest mediator. He is the one who sits in heaven and really argues on our behalf to You, God. And we thank You, Christ, for that. And this morning we think about those whom we might pray for, Lord. And Lord, first, we want to think about the effectiveness of the ministry of this church, including our pastor, our session, our deacons, and other ministry leaders. Lord, we pray this morning for that. We think about that, our church, this morning. Lord, not only do we pray that our church might have an effective ministry, Lord, to the people here, but we also pray that our church might have an effective ministry to the community. And Lord, we pray for our community. Lord, we think about our community here in Anna and Jonesboro and the Union County area. Lord, we pray that You might transform this community into followers of Christ. And so, Lord, we take a few minutes to think about people in the community, maybe neighbors, family members, friends that we might pray for now, that they might be transformed for You. And Lord, we lift up, even beyond that, we lift up those on a local and state and national level, our government officials, Lord. And we ask and pray that you would mercifully guide them, that you would mercifully direct them. So, Lord, we think now about our nation. We think about our state. We think about even our local government officials, Lord. And we lift them up before you right now. Finally, Lord, we pray for our world. We pray, God, that you would be seen, that you would be glorified, that you would spread your light, God, using us and especially using our missionaries, Lord. And we think about those missionaries, some who are in harm's way, some who are persecuted on a daily basis for their faith. Lord, we lift them up. We think about them, Lord, and we may think of a missionary that might come to mind, and I'll also mention a few missionaries of our church, of Megan Reeder, Vera Albright, Robert Comden family, Thomas and Jennifer McIntyre, Bill Rader, and others, Lord. We lift them up right now. We take a moment to lift up these missionaries before you. Lord, we thank you that you have given us the ability to talk to you, to speak with you, to pray to you. And you've given us that ability because of Christ. And so, Christ, we praise you this day. We thank you for the opportunity we have. And we thank you that you accept us just the way we are. And, Lord, we trust and know that even when we do not know what to say, that your Spirit intercedes on behalf of us. And we thank you for that promise. And so, Lord, we lift these things up. We lift these people up. And these people that we may have thought of before you today, that you might be seen in their lives and you might be glorified. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Close our service today. May we be those who are active in prayer. And as you lead us, may we be those who put action to our prayers. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.